I'd like to direct your attention this evening to Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. It says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Certainly, we do not want to set our mind on the things of the flesh and be carnally minded. It is our desire to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. And those are the things that I would like to discuss with you this evening. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verses 23 through 27, we read, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious lips far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and always, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil." I want you to notice here that we are to guard our heart by filtering what we allow to enter into it. And there's different ways that things can enter into our heart. We're to watch over our heart with all diligence. And if we're watching our heart, then we're taking guard over it as to what we allow to enter into it. And one of the ways that things enter into our heart, and we're not talking about our physical blood pump, you understand, we're talking about our understanding, is by what we see, what we look upon. And so he says, "Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you." And so as we think about setting our mind on the things of the Spirit, we need to make a covenant with our eyes. That's a point is made by Job in Job chapter 31 and verse 1. It says, "I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman?" There are particular contexts here, but there's a general principle as well. I have made a covenant with my eyes. I submit to you that if we are going to set our mind on the things of the Spirit, we must also make a covenant with our eyes. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22, Jesus, working on this principle, said, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light." He could have just as easily said, "The lamp of the heart is the eye." He's talking about we need to be on guard about what we allow to enter into us. We need to make a covenant with our eyes. We need to keep our eyes healthy so that we can see the things that are of the Spirit. In Psalm 119 and verse 105, he says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." What are we to be looking at? We're to be looking at the Word of God's truth. Allow only the true light of God's Word to enter your spirit. What happened with Eve, as we noticed this morning in our adult Bible study? She heard the Word of God. She knew it. She could quote it. She was living it. And she allowed Satan to deceive her and appeal to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. She believed the lie rather than the truth of God's Word. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, verse 15, Timothy and we are charged to be diligent and present ourselves approved to God, a worker that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're going to have a humble heart, a submissive spirit, and a heart that desires to do the will of God if we are going to rightly divide the word of truth. We need to focus on His Word and accept the fact that His Word and His Word alone is truth. 2 Timothy 3 in verses 16 and 17 says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is breathed of God. All Scripture originates with God. All Scripture is given life by God. You know, when you think about Scripture is breathed of God, the first thing you should think of is the fact that God breathed into Adam the breath of life and he became a living soul. So also is that true then? If we are going to set our mind on the things of the Spirit, if our spirit's going to be alive, if our body's going to be full of light, if our heart is going to be full of light, then we must be listening to the Word of God as it's breathed by God. Don't change it. Don't pervert it in any way, but accept it for just for what it says. Honor it, revere it, receive His Word of truth. We are to, in the Bible's words, to look straight on. Proverbs 4 in verses 25 through 27, it says, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. You know, we're in we've just concluded the triple crown season, I guess you might say. And so maybe people have been focused a little bit more on horse racing than any other time of the year. But if you know a little bit about horse racing, if you noticed them, then some horses wear what they call blinders on the sides of their eyes. That's because some horses have a tendency to, you know, they're kind of like people. So you ever get behind somebody driving down the road instead of looking straight ahead, they're looking over here and they're looking over there and their car's going over here and their car's going over there. Well, some horses are like that. You know, horses like to look around. They like to see what's going on. Well, that does not contribute to the straightest line between two points is, you know, looking straight ahead. And so they put blinders on the horse, and so he can only look straight ahead. And that's really what he's talking about here. Let your eyes look straight ahead. First of all, we've established, well, what are my eyes to be looking at? My eyes are to be looking at the truth of God's Word. My eyes are to be set on the things of the Spirit. I've set my mind on that, so I need to be looking at the will of God, and I need to, as he's talking about here, ponder the path of your feet. If I'm looking at the will of God, knowing His will, knowing what He wants me to do, knowing how to live to the praise of His glory, that's my purpose in life. Just as God has revealed, that's our purpose, that's everybody's purpose. It's to revere Him, to keep His commandments, so that we might be to His glory. Then I need to be looking straight on and walking in that way, pondering the path of my feet, that as we've noticed this morning, I am walking that straight and narrow way that leads to life. Not turning to the right or to the left. Removing my feet from evil. Because that's one of the things the Word of God does, isn't it? All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. One of the things it does is reprove us. Shows us where we're wrong, but then it also corrects us. Shows us how to make correction in our lives. We are to discern the way of righteousness. Know the right way. And we can only know the right way as God has revealed it in His Word. We might read what the Bible says and somebody says, well, I know what the Bible says, but stop listening. Stop listening. Stop looking. Maybe you will read the Bible from time to time and you'll say, well, I know that's what it says, and as I rightly divide the word of truth, there's no doubt that that's what it says, but going down the wrong path. You're starting to go the wrong way. You're not discerning the way of righteousness. Sometimes we say, well, I don't understand why it's that way. Sometimes you're not going to understand until you start walking in the way of the Spirit, till you start living in the way of the Spirit, until you start participating in the divine nature as you leave the carnal nature in your mind and in your heart. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14 says, solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Sometimes we have to start practicing what God tells us is true, what God tells us is righteous, before we start recognizing why that is the way of righteousness. And I believe that's one of the things that the Hebrew writer is saying here. Those who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern both good and evil. We need to guard against the lust of the eyes. As we noticed this morning, Grant pointed out in the adult Bible study, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, 1 John 2 and verse 16. You need to guard against the lust of the eyes. In Genesis 3 and verse 6, you remember that the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree discernible, desirable to make one wise. She took of the fruit and ate. So she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So one of the temptations here, one of the things that appealed to her was that it's a nice-looking tree. The fruit looked good. I don't know about you, but I'm one of those guys that unless I know something that's growing is good or not, I don't eat it. Because I see a lot of things that look good that aren't good. You know, you study on it and you find out, no, that's not good. That can hurt you. That can at least not make you feel good for a little while. So I have a tendency that, you know, when I'm out in the wild and stuff, I have a tendency just not to eat anything that I see grow in the wild unless I know what it is. But we're not always like that, are we? You know, I remember when we went over to Egypt a few years ago, and in Egypt you can't drink the water, you can't brush your teeth with the water, and you don't eat the fruit that is washed in the water. But I'll tell you, they had a table set out full of some of the best looking fruit I've ever seen. And I mean, it really looked good. And one of the fellas thought, yeah, man, that is, I'm getting some of that. And he got some, and he sat down at the table and said, we all told him, don't eat that. You know, we've all been warned not to eat it. It'll be all right. I'll be fine. The next day, he was not so fine. I felt bad for him. He felt bad the whole day. Things are not always as good as they appear to be. Take note of that, Dion. Remember what we were talking about? I was teasing Dion a little bit ago before services, and I'm teasing him now. I tease Dion quite a bit. I always pick on Dion, don't I? Remember a couple New Years ago, and how, you know, we started the new year and new slate. I turned to Dion. I said, how you doing, Dion? He says, haven't messed up so far. I'll never forget that. Have you forgot about that? No. Keep that in mind when you're looking for a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Keep that in mind when you're just looking for a friend. Things are not always as pleasant as what maybe they might appear to be. Find out what's in their heart. Find out what their goals are. Find out if they share the same conviction that you have, that they set their mind on the things of the Spirit as you have, first and foremost. In 2 Samuel 11 and verse 2, it says, "It happened one evening that David arose from the bed and he walked out on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold." Incidental, wasn't his intention, but it happened. Had he made a covenant with his eyes to look away? No. Had he made a covenant with his heart to forget about it, to put it out of his mind? No. He sent for her, didn't he? You see how making a covenant with your eyes can keep you from sinning? This is a serious matter. It's a serious matter. We're entering in a time of the year. We've already entered. It doesn't take long here in southern Kentucky to get into the time of the year when people stop wearing clothes. You have to make a covenant with your eyes not to look upon such things, lest your heart start going in the carnal direction rather than of the divine nature. Matthew 5 and verse 28, Jesus said it very plainly. He said, "Whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart." To keep our heart pure. It's not just about what we do in our body. We are to keep our heart pure. You can't help what you see, and I guess you really can't help but appreciate the beauty that you see in whatever it might be. One of the reasons we're attracted to each other, male and female, is because we're supposed to appreciate the beauty that we see, and beauty is always in the eye of the beholder. But you don't have to dwell upon it. You don't have to turn what is good and what can be appreciated into what is evil and what is carnal. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2 says, "Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth." In verse 5 he says, "Put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." We've talked about before how that we might not be carving out idols, but we can have idols. We can idolize our vehicles. We can idolize our homes. We can idolize our recreation. We can idolize our time. Start thinking it's my time. We can idolize our own bodies. It's my body. I can do whatever I want to do with it. No. Not if you're a child of God. Not if you're a Christian. Not if you've accepted the price for your sins. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. It's not your body. It's not your time. It's not your home. It's not your automobile. They're not your clothes. We are to conduct ourselves in the way that shows that we revere God. And we are thankful to God for the sacrifice that He's made for our life. And so we're going to live in all holiness and purity and righteousness to His praise and to His glory. In Hebrews 13 and verse 5 it says, Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, "I will never leave you, I will never forsake you." Coveting things that we don't have can make us very unhappy. Failing to appreciate all of the things that we do have will make us ungrateful for what we have. But we can covet our own things too. We can covet what we do have. not be willing to share them to the glory of God, for the benefit of others and for His benefit, as well as ultimately for our own benefit. As the Lord said, it is more blessed, it's more happy to give than to receive. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be careful what you're looking at. Be careful what you want to see. Be farsighted. As we think about setting our minds on the things of the Spirit, we need to be farsighted. So many times we are nearsighted on the here and now. I want you to think with me in Proverbs chapter 23 and verses 31 through 35, how this point is brought out here in regards to wine. He says, "Do not look on wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly." Looks good. It's pretty. Looks like it'd be good to drink. At the last, what's he saying? Stop looking at that and thinking, well, that'd be good. Just a little bit wouldn't hurt. At the last, think down the road. Where's this going to lead? What happens when you've seen people drink wine? What happens to them? Well, what we're going to read about here, that's what happens to them. And that's what he's saying here. And that's going to happen to you. If you drink it, what's happened to them is going to happen to you. Oh, no, I can handle it. No. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Alcoholic beverages usually are not as good as what they appear to be. That's what I've been told. Your first drink is like, why would anybody like this stuff? Well, I said, at the last, and doesn't take very long. You know, it looks pretty. Everybody's doing it. Everybody seems to enjoy it. One of the first things you notice is, it doesn't taste so good. Have to acquire a taste for it. At the last, it bites like a serpent. It stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things. And your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies at the top of the mast, saying, "They have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake that I may seek another drink?" Oh, you got somebody who's totally intoxicated. Somebody driving drunk runs into another vehicle and people are injured and hurt and killed. Maybe he or she runs into a building or an immovable object. Vehicle is destroyed and they're not hurt. How does that happen? Or they're just totally relaxed when it happens. Now, they'll feel it later. Their body will hurt later. But they are so anesthetized by the alcohol that they didn't feel it at the moment. People don't look down the road, do they? They don't look at the damage that it causes in a person's life, in relationships, in their own life. They don't look down the road. Along the same lines, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 through 11, it says, "For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness." Nearsighted. Some translations say nearsighted. He's only thinking about the here and now. He's not adding to his faith. He's not thinking about it. He's not putting forth diligence to add to his faith. He's just living in the moment. I've got time down the road to do that. No, you need to be doing that now. He who lacks these things is short-sighted, nearsighted, just thinking about the here and now, even to blindness. He has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. Be even more diligent to set your mind on the things of the Spirit. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Add to your faith the desire to practice an excellency in your faith. Grow in knowledge. Grow in the determination to do His will and to live to His glory. Jesus, in talking about the eye, make a covenant with your eyes. Jesus talked about those who always finding fault in others but never saw their own faults. He said, remove the beam. He said, you see the mote in your brother's eye, but remove the beam from your eye before you start talking to others. And of course, what he's saying is, acknowledge the fact, first of all, that you've sinned too. You've made mistakes as they've made mistakes. You are immature as they are immature. Before you can help somebody, you need to understand them. The sin is evident. Do you understand the situation? Psalm 101 and verse 3 says, set no wicked thing before your eyes. You might have made a covenant with your eyes that you're not going to look upon things that you know that are wrong. Here he's talking about the fact that you know it's wrong. You know it's wicked. You seek it. You look for it. You go looking for it. Very plain. Do not set any wicked thing before your eyes. Psalm 119 and verse 37 very plainly says, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. And revive me in your way. As the psalmist prayer here to God, as we realize that we have all set our mind on the things of the Spirit, haven't we? Is anybody here that hasn't set their mind on the things of the Spirit? I think the reason you're here is because you set your mind on the things of the Spirit. But have you made a covenant with your eyes? Not to look upon those things that are evil. Not to seek out those things that are evil. Not to seek out the things that are carnal. To dwell upon them. To covet after them. To want them more than the things of the Spirit. I believe we realize we should all make a covenant with our eyes. To look on the things that are good. To look on the truth of God's Word and pursue it. But are we praying about it? You know, a long time ago, I came to the realization that, you know, as Jesus said, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. One of the psychological principles of prayer is that as we're praying to God for the things that we would like for Him to do in our lives, we are programming our mind, our spirit, to do those things. It's our desire to do that to the glory of God. So the psalmist says, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. Have you prayed that prayer? Do you include that in your prayers? Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. And there are so many things that are worthless in the bottom line of things. So many things that we deem important that are not important at all. So many things that we're not going to be able to, that are not going to profit, be profitable to us to lead us into eternity with God and the heavenly host. Let my eyes look straight ahead. Keep me focused on the things of the Spirit. Turn away from my eyes from looking at worthless things. Make a covenant with your eyes, not only to look upon, not to look upon the maiden, but to look upon anything that's worthless or that would take my attention away from the things of the Spirit. Revive me in your way. Are you walking in His way? If not, and you have come to the decision in your life that you're ready to turn from your sins and to walk in His way, you're ready to confess Him as the Son of God, be baptized for the remission of your sins, rise to walk with Him in newness of life, abiding in His Word, setting your mind on the things of the Spirit, living to His praise and glory, we'd encourage you to let it be known. Everything's ready. If you are, we're ready. If you're here tonight and you're a child of God and you realize you've been looking at the wrong things, your attention has been taken away from looking straight ahead and the things of the Spirit, you need to make correction in your life. James tells us to confess our faults one to another, pray for one another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If we can assist you in any way at all tonight, would you please come as we stand and sing this song?